Yeah. So how's everybody doing today? Are you all right? Through the ups and downs? We've had a beautiful summer. And how many of you went to the fair this week? Anybody go to the fair? A few of you. How about first time you've ever been to the fair? Give a shout. None. Okay. Well, either there's nobody here or you didn't feel like giving a shout. One of the two. That's all right. Got a message for you today. And there it is, the simple truth. I want to read a scripture. Psalm 119, 160. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that your word speak to us today, and we open up our hearts to your word and to your Holy Spirit. Just pray, Lord God, that what you want said today is what comes forth. So we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So today's message is one that I have wrestled over and labored over like maybe none other for a long time. This week, I have changed it, switched it around. Should I say this? Should I say that? And I just want to say that it isn't a feel-good message, so I'm just kind of preparing you in advance. So I'm just going to say buckle up, because here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Let's do this. So when it comes to speaking from the pulpit, I believe in preaching Jesus and the life change that he can make in us and in others. And it's a change that's all about love. It's about grace. It's about mercy. It's about conviction, both in us and in other people. And that's what you're going to hear from this pulpit. And Jesus is our answer to our generation. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. And there is no other answer, and he is the answer to what I'm about to discuss. Now, today I'm going to address a few issues that are going on in our culture and in our country. And my goodness, what a day we're living in, huh? You know, it's not the first time that we've seen deception. But you're going to hear that word several times. And throughout history, we have seen this happen in other countries. And so, on one hand, we're seeing a move back toward biblical principles in our country. And one decisions that help bring back prayer in schools to protect life for the unborn, and to help protect religious education. Those are just three things recently that have come up. On the other hand, a storm is rising and now is here to do away with these biblical principles and to condemn all who believe in the Bible and its teachings. So we have both seeming to be rising, okay? And it's gotten to the point. And this is what sort of pushed me a little bit over the edge, in a sense, where there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who want LGBTQ plus agendas taught to early elementary students. And that these children need to question if they are even a boy or a girl, as seen recently in the angry backlash to the Florida bill. And if you're not familiar with that, this was a bill that was recently passed. And you may have heard it called the Don't Say Gay bill. That's not what it is. It's basically saying that you can't teach sexual preferences, different things like that, to early elementary students. That's what it is. Now, in my years of life in ministry, I've seen that Many people have a hard time realizing who they are in the first place, let alone trying to determine if the way your body is made is who you really are. That like stacks a whole nother thing. I've just seen that over and over again. People not knowing who they are, okay? Now, some of you might think I'm overstating these issues a little bit, but I think at this point it's pretty obvious if you watch any news, if you read any social media at all, then you know what I'm talking about. Now, I have always loved Disney, okay? I've loved it. I mean, hey, Lady and the Tramp, Old Yeller, Parent Trap, Bambi, Peter Pan. Hey, I've always loved Disney. I've used to go to the theater and watch Disney movies. You know, I'm older, so I like all the old stuff. And so that's where I've been. I love Disneyland. I've had many good trips to Disneyland. I love the Peter Pan ride. I love, you know, all the classic stuff. And I know they have a lot of new things now. For about a year, we have been planning a trip to go to Disneyland. I just want to be upfront about that. With my grandkids and my daughter Alyssa and her husband Brian. And right now we do plan on going, and that'll be in several weeks. So I'm just going to say that from the start. But I'm just going to say that I'm just so disappointed because I love Disney. I'm just disappointed to see what's been coming from that company. And I'm going to use an example, and that's one of their latest movies. I have not seen it, but it's the new one. It's the Pixar movie that's made by Disney called Lightyear, which features a gay couple. Now, that isn't unusual in these days, but what is unusual is that this is a topic or a movie that's going to be seen by many children. And so, you know, Lightyear comes from Buzz Lightyear, and that comes from Toy Story. So many, many children will see this movie. And I'm going to read from a news article from the news agency Reuters.com. It says this: actor Chris Evans, who voices the main character in Lightyear, and I'm going to stop there for a second. This character of Buzz Lightyear used to be Tim Allen, but it's been changed. I'm just going to leave that there. Chris Evans applauded movies to reflect all types of people and said those who react negatively should be disregarded. Okay, and I'm also going to stop, and I'm just going to say he's not referring here to race or culture, but he's responding to a question about the addition of the gay couple that also kiss in this movie. The real truth, Chris Evans says, is those people are idiots, Evans said in an interview with Reuters Television ahead of the debut of Lightyear in theaters. Every time there's been social advancement as we wake up, the American story, the human story, is one of constant social awakening and growth, and that's what makes us good. There's always going to be people who are afraid and unaware and trying to hold on to what was before. But those people die off like dinosaurs. I think the goal is to pay them no mind, march forward, and embrace the growth that makes us human. Now, some of this sounds pretty good. It really does. And should we love everybody? Yeah, that's what Jesus taught, is that we should love everyone. And we believe that. But I want you to remember something, that all deception has a bit of truth, and that's why it's deceiving. There's a little bit of truth to it, okay? Because this statement is deception. The truth is, sexual orientation is being taught and presented to small children. That's what the truth is. And we have come so far that that's considered normal. Okay? Now, when I was in first grade, I was into riding my bike. I was into eating as much candy as I could find and shoveling it into my mouth as fast as I could shovel it. All you parents who are trying to keep sugar away from your kids, hey, didn't affect me. I'm good to go. But I'm just thinking of when I was in first grade, you know. I think I was this normal kid being taught sexual orientation, whether I am a boy or a girl, that kind of a thing. I just can't imagine being taught that at that age. What are we doing here? What's happening? And to have so many people jump on board for this, okay? Are you hanging with me? Okay. All right. Now, this quote I mentioned is from one man, and he's an actor, okay? And I don't know Chris Evans. I'm sure Chris Evans is a nice guy. I have no idea. I mean, he's also Captain America, right? So I like Captain America. And actually, all the things that Captain America stands for and all of that. So come on. I'm sure he's a nice guy. But if you read the news at all, these kinds of statements happen every day. And Christians are often painted as people who hate other people, have no tolerance for other people, and their opinions should be canceled and erased, as we have seen during, you know, during the pandemic. We saw this happen over and over again. It was so frustrating. From our church, we had to so watch what we put out there because it would just get taken off of YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, anything like that, any of these social media platforms. So is what Chris Evans is saying the truth? Is it the truth? And how do we know what the truth is anymore? Because of what actors tell us? And can I just say, actors, not all, I'm not speaking about every actor. We have wonderful actors in our church. But how many times do we listen to what actors have to say about issues? You know, they're actors, they're creative people, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's great. But that doesn't mean that they're an expert on social issues. We just need to be careful there. I'm here to say that there is a way to know the truth. And you, and we as the church are going to need to know the truth in these days. I've said this before, but boy, doesn't it seem to really ring today. Okay? Because deception is increasing and the pressure to accept ideas that are counter to biblical principles will increase. It's not going to decrease, it's going to increase. As the Holy Spirit moves, we're seeing a rise in the Holy Spirit moving among us, and praise God, through prayer and through action, and just the move of the Spirit, we'll continue to see people saved, people discipled. But at the same time, we see the enemy rising as well. So there was a man many years ago who made a famous statement, and he was responding to Jesus Christ after Christ made a statement to him. And you may recognize this from John chapter 18, verse 37. "You are a king then," said Pilate. And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the what? The truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And here's the famous quote. "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. So, now, Pilate's answer, I'm sure, came from a place of cynicism. He was in a tough spot. He really was. Now, he's kind of famous for what he didn't do here and what he did as well. But he was in a terrible position of having to cater to the hypocritical religious authorities. And can I say we have those today? We have people, lots of people in the world that are hypocritical religious authorities, and I'll just leave it at that. And yet knowing that Jesus was innocent of the claims they had made, Pilate recognized this and he tried to release Jesus. But the same question is still being asked today. What is truth and how can we know what the truth is? Now, to know the truth, we've got to have an anchor. Okay? We've got to have also a similar illustration would be a compass. We need a compass to tell which way to go, north, south, east, or west. So something to go by, okay? There's other illustrations we can use. I'm putting in some pavers for a small 12 by 12 patio. You'd think a small 12 by 12 patio would be an easy thing, right? Man, I have put a lot of sweat into that thing, and we're still not done. I could barely walk last night, but I'm here today. Yes. So as we're doing this, you know, we need a reference point or the pavers are going to be all, you know, all over the place. So, you know, you need a straight line of some kind. And those of you who are good at this kind of thing are going to say, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? But hey, we're doing it, period. A level. You need a level to make sure it's all level, so it's not a different time. Angles like this, you'd be walking along and tripping on your pavers, whatever. So you need these reference points, okay? So what is your compass or reference point? Your level for truth. Something you can rely on. Because you know what's happening a lot today? A lot is your own truth. And you hear this all the time. What is your truth? And that means different things, okay? Now, is it just what you come up with? What somebody's told you that sounds pretty good? Is that your reference point? Because then everybody's going to have their own truth. And people actually say this, and they write about it all the time. I saw one quote that said there's literally hundreds of thousands of books written about your own truth, okay? Discovering your own truth, okay? And quite honestly, it doesn't take rocket science to realize that's not going to work if everybody comes up with their own truth. In the end, it's going to be a little chaotic, wouldn't you think? The definition of the word true is in accordance with fact or reality. So there has to be fact or reality to truth. Now, if you decide for yourself that you're going to come up with your own truth, your own standard, keep in mind that you're headed for trouble and heartache. And I'm going to give you an example. You may decide that you're an introvert and you've been hurt by people, which is very real, okay? That happens, I think, to all of us at some time. So you're never going to be with people unless you absolutely have to, because you don't want to get hurt again. Okay, so you decide that this is your truth, because that's who you are. You're an introvert, and you're justified because people have hurt you. So I'm just not going to be involved with people, because that's my truth, and that's who I am. I've decided that. Well, I hate to break it to you, but you're headed for misery and loneliness. And when you need somebody, you haven't invested in relationships to get you through. Now, the Bible says to not forsake our own assembling together, but encourage one another. But why does it say that? It's because people need people. You know, people need people. Isn't there a song that says that? people who need people are the luckiest people. Who's that, Barbara Streisand? I'm not sure. Anyway, I guess people do need people, even when you don't feel like it, okay? But that's what the Bible does. It tells you the truth. So anything that is counter to what the Bible teaches will eventually maybe not right at first, but it's going to eventually lead to heartache, depression, and pain. And this is what is called sin. Okay? Now, the Bible says that without Christ and his sacrifice, eventually sin will bring death. You might think that's a big jump, but I'm saying eventually. Okay? Now, what do you mean? So I have a scripture out of the book of Galatians, and this is in the Message. So this is probably, unless you read the Message all the time, which is very descriptive, you're going to go, wow, is that what that says? But yeah, it's Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. Okay, here's what the Apostle Paul says, explained. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Trinket gods. Magic show religion. Paranoid loneliness. Cutthroat competition. All-consuming yet never satisfied wants. A brutal temper. An impotence to love or be loved. Divided homes and divided lives. Small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of community. I could go on. So coming up with our own truth, just on our own, is full of deception. Okay? Now, here's an example of what Satan does to deceive us. In this story in the book of John, Judas is laying blame to Mary, of Mary and Martha fame, for wasting expensive perfume on Jesus. So in John chapter 12, these first verses are not on the screen. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, and that's right outside of Jerusalem, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. And I need to say that this is probably the most expensive perfume mentioned in the Bible. I guess it comes from India. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. And then beginning in verse 4. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. So Judas was a thief. And this is the Apostle John saying this. He was there. Judas was a thief. And he accuses Mary of being selfish and not selling the perfume and giving it to the poor. And this is exactly what we see in our culture today. There's accusations made all over the place. It's just so crazy. Accusations, it doesn't matter whether it's true or false, just accusations all over the place, okay? From every direction. Yet the people making the accusations most oftentimes are in it themselves over their head. And then as time goes on, we see them getting into trouble, okay? But then we forget all about what they said before, okay? So this is what's happening in our world. So in this instance, could the perfume have been sold and the money given to the poor? Yeah, sure. That's true. That is true. Okay? So there's always a little truth in what Satan does in order to deceive us. Yet Mary was purely worshiping the Lord with devotion and sacrificing something she valued to honor the Lord. That's the truth of what happened, okay? Was she going into debt to do this? It doesn't appear to be the case. It was a sacrifice to the Lord, and Jesus himself honored it and commended her for it. So, we have a solid compass and an anchor. It's the Word of God. Now listen, you might believe that already, and I think most of you probably do. But when you hear and you read all the really outlandish things that are presented as good and normal, and a little truth is thrown in there, and you're told if you don't believe these things, then you hate people. Do you believe it? I hope you don't. Okay? I hope you don't. Are you remembering what the Word of God has to say about it? Okay? Are you discerning the truth? So let me ask you this. Do you believe in Jesus? Yeah. Do you believe that he lived and died, rose again for our salvation, so that we might go to heaven? Do you believe that? Yeah. Okay. So what did he say? What did he say? So here's a prayer to the Heavenly Father for Jesus' disciples that's recorded in the book of John chapter 17. And this is so relevant today. Jesus is praying and he says, and he's speaking about his disciples, okay? And that would include us. I have given them your word and the world has hated them. Okay, so remember that before I go any farther. These guys receive the word of God from Jesus Christ. And it's full of love. It's full of love. And what did the world do? It hated them. So don't be surprised. I wish it wasn't that way, but it is. Okay? The world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. So here's something else Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. This part is not on the screen. Verse 17 and 18. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. It's not going away. The word of God doesn't become null and void. It can't just be disregarded. People will try to do that in this world. That's our anchor, because it's truth, and it lasts through the years. It lasts through the craziness, terrible things that happen in this world. The word of God stands. Can you say amen? Amen, amen to that. Psalm 119, 160. This is what I opened with. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Here's just a statement. God's word is the only true standard we have for assessing our actions, okay? For assessing our actions. That means in the things that we do, the things we decide, how we decide right and wrong is going to be based on the word of God. And it's not going to be based on something that sounds good that somebody says. Okay, it's not based on that. And everybody can be, guys, we might live in a time when the greater majority of the world is clamoring for deception. It might happen because it's happening so fast. It seems like a snowball right now. That's why I just felt like this word is so important today, okay? Just to remember. All right, the Bible speaks of the coming of a terrible person. in the last days who is known as the Antichrist. Most people have heard of the Antichrist. And what's one of the main characteristics of this man? We're going to find out in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The coming of the lawless one, that's this guy, is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders. Kind of keep that in the back of your mind as time goes on. Okay, maybe not so much today, but as time goes on. And with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refused to love the truth and to be saved. He will be extremely deceptive. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So no matter how good something sounds, no matter how someone explains something with someone who's charismatic, it doesn't have to be the Antichrist, it can just be an actor, it can be an actress, it can be a politician. You know, they're really good at phrasing things that sound so good. Okay? Satan comes as an angel of light. And I'm not saying everything these people say is bad. I'm just saying that it's always going to sound pretty good. It's going to sound like, huh, well, that sounds good. Tolerance, that's a good word. I should be tolerant of everybody. Problem is, if you're tolerant of everything, then there is no truth. If you're tolerant of everything, then we have chaos, okay? All right, three short things to close this message. So how are we to live? These are very simple. First one is what I've been talking about. Live by the word of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, "But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's the Bible. That's how we're going to know the truth. That's how we're to live. None of us are perfect. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for grace. Man, do I thank God for grace and mercy. Second thing is, be wise yet gentle. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 says, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." Jesus said that, shrewd as snakes. So, yeah, we're supposed to be gentle and loving and caring for people. That's what we're about. But it also says, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish, be wise. And it says, when he says shrewd as snakes, he's just saying, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by everything that comes your way. Be wise. Be wise. Okay? What does the word of God say? What does the word of God say according to this situation or what someone has said or something that everybody's going toward? What does the Bible say? Okay? And then the third one is another obvious one, is to love people. Because that's what we're about. I don't care what the world says. Now, there are some of us who, maybe you're a person who's, you don't look at yourself this way, but this is a form of deception, of being very religious. Maybe you even know your Bible well, but you're not dealing with other people in love, and that you're throwing the Bible at them. That's no good. That's not only no good, that harms people. You know, the Bible can be used that way in a harmful way because it's not done with love. Okay? And so we're about love and we're about loving people. And I'm going to read a familiar portion of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 6. Love is patient. Love is kind. Kind. Are you kind? You know, I've said this lately, but I feel like I have to say this again. I'm kind of on this new kick, and it's like whenever I go through like a drive-through, or I go to a place of business, and somebody's very nice, I just really notice it. And my big word lately is, thank you for being so kind. I appreciate that. And I have to say, you wouldn't believe the look on people's faces. They're just like, oh, well, yeah. I think it all started one day. I was having a terrible day, kind of ran into some rude people, and ran into a kind person, and I just about started crying. I was like, oh, thanks for being so kind. I've had a terrible day. And this person just lit up, and I was like, oh, well, something as simple as that can help somebody. Anyway, that was something you didn't ask for, but there you go. Love does not envy or boast, okay? It is not arrogant. Don't be arrogant with what you say or do, or rude. It goes for me too. It does not insist on its own way. Isn't that interesting? Even if you're right. Doesn't insist. Now that can go a lot of different directions, but I'll leave it for what the word says. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. So we're to love and rejoice with the truth. If I could get the worship team to come up, that'd be great. Well, who? We know what is the truth. Who is the truth? I think most of you can get this one correct without it being multiple choice. But I'm going to read from John chapter 14, verse 6. Maybe you're a person who doesn't know some of these things, and that's okay. We're so glad you're here. So glad. There was a day when I came to church, I didn't know a thing. All these words they were saying, these Christian words, I was like, what in the world are you talking about? But I got the fact that people loved me. That's what I remember. I do remember not getting some of the things that were said, but it didn't matter because people loved me where I was, and that's what we need to do. So John 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said it himself. He is the truth. Deception. Even though I said this is going to be a tough message, it's not easy for me to bring a message like this. I'd rather be gung-ho. Let's go. Let's share the gospel. And there is that in here. Let's see people discipled and let's all be together and join together. And that's what I love talking about. And through all the deception, we do have hope. We have hope. And our hope is Jesus Christ. And he loves you so very much. He is the truth. And he will show you the truth. Some of you might think, well, I've got the Bible, and yes, that's the truth. Yes, but Jesus is alive, see? And what does that mean, that Jesus is alive? That means that through the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there's three in one. It's a mystery. But through the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ will show you the truth. Say amen? Amen. Okay. Our future is amazing. Through it all, we can love our world and really make a difference. So we're going to do it by knowing and reading the Word of God and applying it with love through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that, my friends, is the simple truth. Don't be deceived. You don't have to be. Okay? And we have each other. Don't forsake our own assembling together so that we can have a huge church. I'd love it. No, that's not why. So we can support one another and encourage one another in these deceptive days. Okay? We can pray for one another. Encourage each other. It's a beautiful thing. Now, there may be some of you here today that Maybe you feel like you don't read the Bible enough. I just want to say to you, it's not how much of it you read. Just do it often. You can just read a verse and meditate on it, and it'll change your life. Really. So there's no pressure. But just have a regular time of reading. If you're not used to reading the Bible, just start in the Gospels, which is the New Testament, the first four books of the New Testament. There's an Old Testament that's before Christ, which is great, fantastic. Then you've got the New Testament. And so just read the first four Gospels if you're not used to reading the Bible. You don't have to be in a big hurry. Get a Bible that has a good study. Okay, so that when things you don't understand, ask the Lord to help you. But those study notes are fantastic. I have a great study Bible. So I'm just going to ask of a little bit of a response. I'm not going to take very long to do this. Let's just lower our heads for a minute, bow our heads. If you're here today and some of this is making sense to you, and maybe it didn't before you came in here. And first of all, I'm going to start with, if you've never asked Christ into your life, but you want to know him personally and that you believe that he's alive and rose again, if you've never done that before, I just want you to raise your hand where you are, right where you are, and I want to pray for you, very simply. And if you're a person there and you feel like, I need to know more of the Bible, I need to know more of the truth of the Bible, just raise your hand where you are. Okay. All right. Let's all stand up. I hope what I said today came across with love, because that's how I meant it. I just want you guys to know the truth. Don't be deceived in these days. Yeah. Amen. So my answer to most everything is, let's sing a song. So I'd like for us to do that. And this is a wonderful song. It speaks about the person we've been talking about. Let's do this.